FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and here we are. It's the last day of August 2016, and, well, Jackson Hole has come and gone, and more of the same, but it's never more of the same with Andrew Hoffman. Andy, good morning.
No, it's not more of the same because there's so many new horrible headlines to talk about on any given day. And, you know, you talk about Jackson Hole, which again, and, you know, I've been talking about this forever in podcasts and articles. You know, it's every time the Fed speaks now, in any way, shape or form, it's become a de facto FOMC meeting because they're so desperate to have more opportunities to manipulate markets and to create false premises to, you know, to use as cover. And it's not even like going into this conference, there was an expectation that there was going to be anything hawkish. That's why it's so funny that, you know, they're smashing gold and getting people ready for these hawkish comments based on nothing. There's been nothing but bad news. We just reported three straight quarters of 1% GDP growth. And yet somehow we're told that the economy is recovering, and let alone that they'd be raising rates in front of a historic election when the world is falling apart and the strong dollar is already killing off global trade. But anyway, so, you know, she makes her speech, and I wrote two long articles on it, one on Friday, one on Saturday morning, and then one on Monday about Saturday's proceedings, which were far more hyperinflationary in tone than even Friday's comments. In fact, it reminded me eerily as I wrote on this, I think it was called Jackson Hole Saturday, where the real hyperinflationary fireworks, occurred. It reminded me of what happened in late February. Markets are crashing and Larry Summers is calling for cashless society and Japan went to negative interest rates and all the talk from central banks about the incredible lengths that they're going to take to expand monetary policy easing. That was in the middle of a crash. Well, if you listen to what all these people said during Jackson Hole this weekend, you would have thought from what they said that we were in the middle of an historic crash right now. That's how bad the real economy is, and that's how aggressive central banks are about to become. I mean, you think they're aggressive now. Come back to me 6-12 months from now when the whole world, when every sovereign bond in the world is at negative interest rates if hyperinflation hasn't come first. And when the Fed too has joined the overt easing party. So, you know, that's what the net of Jackson Hole was. And, you know, look, we're in the summer doldrums. And the cartel has used every second of these last 2 weeks of relentlessly precious metal bullish news to push silver away from its 50-month moving average of 2045 and to push gold away from the downtrend line, which will be broken at about 1370. That downtrend line was created by the four major attacks in 2011, 12, and 13. Inevitably, of course, it will be broken. But I mean, absolutely incredible what's going on here because of what you're seeing with the Jackson Hole and what you're seeing all the events that are about to hit the world in the fall. I mean, whether it's the SDR, inclusion of China, or the election, or the Italian referendum, or the Catalonian secession, or our, you know, meeting of our maker as far as eventually, you know, hitting the recession that we know is coming. So, you know, for everyone who has not yet protected themselves, please use this opportunity to do so because, you know, the calm of the summer doldrums is about to end.
Yeah. And it's amazing. You know, the summer doldrums always comes, without fail. And just like night follows day, it ends. And then we've got September and October. And historically, those are the months where something happens. Not always, but if something is going to happen, it happens in September and October.
Andy. Except last year, the Chinese yuan devaluation, which we're about to talk about in a second, because that was my article today, and it's probably one of the most important articles I've ever written, occurred in August. actually 24 hours after I wrote that it was going to happen. So, you know, there's some big, big things that can happen in the summer. And the thing that makes me craziest, you know, when if there's any measure of human, of the craziness of human nature, it's the fact that last summer we had one of our biggest shortages ever of silver. People buying hand over fist. July, August, September combined were our three busiest months in Miles Franklin's history. And with that, people explicitly saying, there's no doubt in my mind, the reason for it was fear of the Shemitah. Unbelievable, because whether you're religious or not, to believe that you had massive demand for silver and gold because of a biblical prophecy, which, by the way, didn't occur, versus right now, we're right in front of our face. We're watching the whole global economy collapse, currencies collapse. We're watching the central banks go berserk with money printing, and we know that this is going to get much worse. Everyone chooses now to take vacation and not care. It's really, really amazing to me how how the human brain thinks. But, you know, to each his own. The people that bought last summer due to the Shemitah, well, guess what? It turned out to be a good purchase because prices were low. And eventually the people that didn't buy are going to be buying at much higher prices soon.
Yeah, and this year is supposedly the Jubilee, so I don't know what that means exactly, but if you need an excuse to buy, then you need an excuse to buy. What can I say?
Right, and by the way, the one thing I missed as I was rambling about Jackson Hole is, again, for all the hype about the imminent rate hikes and, you know, this Friday's jobs report is all important. I mean, let's face it, the odds of this jobs report not being blatantly rigged like the last two are zero. I mean, everyone knows they're going to put out a number like 250,000 because, again, just like in the last election, right before the election, they go crazy with the lies. And we know that's going to happen, so it's not going to surprise anyone. But despite all of the rhetoric about that we're going to have these big rate hikes coming, maybe September's a live meeting, has anyone looked to see that Treasury yields are lower now than they were when Janet Yellen spoke and lower when Stanley Fischer made his ridiculous, ambiguous comments? The market is not expecting this. In fact, we'll talk about the Chinese yuan devaluation in a second. I came up, you know, last night I said, I'm going to write about this. I haven't read about it in a year. And sure enough, this morning, there's an article that says market bets are that there's a big yuan devaluation coming. Of course there is. And in fact, I will get into it right now. You know, last year, 24 hours before the devaluation, I wrote the upcoming cataclysmic financial big bang to end all big bangs. And what I said in it was, following up the article I wrote back in April about the collapsing Chinese trade data, they're going to have to devalue. I mean, I take it back. They don't have to. The smart thing would be to not devalue. But according to Keynesian economics, that's what these guys do. And sure enough, they did it in August. And a measly 6% devaluation of the yuan caused financial markets to crash and cause the PPTs of the world to come in and with maniacal, you know, game-saving manipulations. And then when the Fed was stupid enough to attempt a rate hike in December, a measly quarter point, as if that matters when you're down at 250-year lows, the same thing happened. Markets crashed. The Chinese again started devaluing the yuan. And if it weren't for even more maniacal intervention, like what I'm talking about in February, where the ECB increased its QE and Japan went to NERP, and we talked about zero interest rates and cashless societies, and the PPTs went berserk, when all that happened, all because of minor declines in the Chinese yuan. Well, now we have a crisis again. Commodities are falling again. Economies are falling around the world. The geopolitical rhetoric is getting uglier. We have this crazy election coming where an outsider may be elected to the White House. So the dollar is going up again. And sure enough, you know, it's only a week ago where I wrote the ugliest economic data I've ever seen, part two. The first part was the Chinese trade data from April 2015, which ultimately led to my belief that they devalued the yuan. This was Japanese trade data from last month, which was even worse and which was catalyzed principally by a collapse in Chinese exports or Chinese imports because China's imploding. So again, I said, look, China is getting ready to devalue again. They have to. And now when you look at the fact that we have this, you know, according to Jim Rickards, this all-important G20 meeting this weekend where China will have their coming out party because the yuan will be officially part of the SDR as of the end of the month. And you have the election coming up. David Stockman says we're going to have a huge crash because of it. Don't know if it's true, et cetera. And the fact that, generally speaking, China is falling apart, you throw into the mix this craziness of the Fed talking about a recovering economy, which is fueling another spike in the dollar. Let alone if they were crazy enough to raise interest rates a quarter point when all this is happening in September, which I don't believe will happen. But if they did, I wrote this morning. This would fuel my belief that actually the conspiracy theorists are right. Maybe we are trying to destroy the economy from within, because that's exactly what it would do. And it would foster even quicker a Chinese yuan devaluation, because believe me, they're ready to do it anyway. And if the dollar gets any stronger, let alone by artificial means, like if the Fed pretends the economy is getting better, I mean, it's going to cause, you know, the whole thing to explode this fall. And I think it's going to explode this fall anyway. But you just watch the dollar, because anything that pushes the dollar up is going to push commodities down, push currencies down, and push the Chinese closer to that cataclysmic financial big bang. Because believe me, there's a reason I titled it that. There is absolutely no financial event. Everyone listen to me. There is no financial event on the planet that's conceivable. Financial event, not talking about geopolitical event, that's conceivable that is even close to rivaling the destruction that a real devaluation of the Chinese yuan will cause. And you know, you saw a hint of it last year, twice in August and then in February. And believe me, they have to do it in their minds, and they're going to do it. And when they do it, it is game over for everything.
Mm-hmm. So it's imminent, you think, the yuan devaluation, really?
Well, it's well, you know, again, that word imminent. It, you know, the title this morning was the upcoming cataclysmic financial big bang. You know, big bangs is closer than ever. Now, if the dollar continues to go higher against other currencies, it has nothing to do with gold. The dollar index has not a whit of correlation with the gold price. I'm talking about against other currencies, because it causes commodities to crash and economies around the world to suffer and debt defaults. And of course, it causes the yuan to go higher, because it's pegged to the dollar, which means that their already crashing economic data will get much worse. And this at a time where they're taking a bigger seat at the global stage, not by being part of the strategic currency basket. If the dollar continues to rise rapidly against other currencies, yeah, damn right it's imminent. And if the Fed were stupid enough, I can't even emphasize, it's so unbelievable, especially because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, not going to happen. They're not raising rates in September. But if somehow they put themselves in a position and actually were dumb enough to do that, which, remember, last December when they raised rates was the day that gold bottomed. So this has nothing to do with worries about gold. In fact, I wrote yesterday, you know, read this and tell me if you're worried about precious metals. Don't worry. It's not about gold. I'm telling you, if they were crazy enough to raise interest rates in September, I would the next day my article would be about the cataclysmic big bang being imminent, because I can guarantee you that the Chinese will devalue the yuan if the Fed is stupid enough to cause the dollar to spike. And again, a spiking dollar, remember, there's a reason why all these countries, central banks, want their currencies to win the final currency war by destroying them. I mean, remember, our trade data is collapsing. If the dollar goes up anymore, and we have six straight quarters of corporate earnings declines, and this is with the highest stock valuations of all time. I mean, we're talking about inviting, just saying, please, market, absolutely crash. Please, economy, absolutely crash. That's what would happen if the dollar went any higher. That's why, you know, I'm going to watch closely the rhetoric of the Fed, because, you know, it's so funny. You have this election coming and they're like, oh, my God, we could destroy the world with this rhetoric. But we can't win the election if we don't talk about the economy recovering. Oh, what are we going to do? Let's manipulate markets even more. Let's use the summer doldrums to smash gold down as hard as we can, because we know it's going to rebound up really quickly as soon as one of these things happen. And then, of course, there's all the black swan things that they can't control. So, again, you know, there is so much that's about to happen in the world. Geopolitically, economically, monetarily, in this fall, like no fall in the history of you know, civilization.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's all coming to a head now, and you just have to wonder what's going to tip it off, what's going to make it happen, and something is going to happen, right?
Something happens every day. It's like I can't even get to my main article topics these days because I got 10 other things to talk about. Just today alone, everyone's got to read the one. I thought that the Jackson Hole Saturday piece was an opus that I wrote on Saturday. But the one that I just wrote now, which is called The Upcoming Cataclysmic Financial Big Bang, 10 All Big Bangs, is coming sooner than ever. I mean, you just got to read these things and go, oh, my God, that happened last night. That happened last night. That happened last night. I mean, these are they're taking what I call PM bullish, everything else bearish, to a new level, and on so many different fronts in so many different parts of the world. So, you know, I've never slept better with how I position myself, but I've never feared more what's coming in the world.
Yeah, it's getting down to it, obviously. So, hey, what are you doing yourself right now to prepare for all this, Andy?
What am I doing? Well, again, I'm just a financial guy, right? So, I'm doing what I've done for years. I'm owning physical precious metals, monetarily speaking, and I own a little Bitcoin. I mean, very little, but I very strongly believe that the future is going to be digital because I don't think any government will ever be trusted ever again. Yeah. Certainly not for many generations to print money after what's coming. Otherwise, you try to do all the other things that the other people you speak to in various walks of life do to protect yourself. You have to consider not even the worst case scenario. Just consider that, at the least what happened in 2008 and 2009 is coming. That's guaranteed. But at the worst, it's going to be something much worse. Could it, some parts of the world will have Venezuela's type of collapses. I hope not the United States. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying there is a worst case scenario out there that we're seeing in some parts of the world, and other parts will experience it. And while the worst case may not occur here, it's very likely that what we saw in 2008 and 2009 is just the beginning of what we're going to see here. In fact, it's not very likely. It's guaranteed that what's coming here is going to be much worse than that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of inevitable because when you just bury the problems, you just paper them over. You don't solve anything. You just basically set the table for the next disaster, which has to be worse than the last one. I mean, that's what we've been doing since World War II, basically, is just putting off the ultimate day of reckoning.
Isn't that funny? Because the end of World War II was the Bretton Woods Agreement. That's exactly what we've been doing. We slowly got off the gold standard, eventually got off it completely, and we've been kicking the can ever since. And the end of the road is here. For most of the world, the end of the road has already been reached. Most of the world is already experiencing exactly what I'm talking about. Third world up. But soon it's going to hit the first world. And when it does, it's going to be a giant shock for the billions of people who are either brainwashed or just don't care about what's about to happen to them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really sad. It's sad that the media government complex had that much control that they could get hundreds of millions, if not billions of people to just bury their heads and just deny reality. But hopefully, if you're listening to Andy and I, then you got it, that you understood what was really happening. That's why I started the show, Andy. That's why you got into what you're doing, and that's why you need to be prepared. Anyway, go over to milesfranklin.com, subscribe to Andy's newsletter, go over to FSN, Financial Survival Network, subscribe to ours. Andy, we will talk to you next week, and the saga will continue to unfold.
It'll be a big week because the powder keg of the most historic abuse of fiat currency and financial engineering is about to come to a head. So any given week when we have our podcast, the world may have already massively changed.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.